Thank you. Yes.
Tatra api swajana sanjaja prasam purvi jamano bhagavata karma.
Tatra api swajana sanjaja prasam purvi jamano bhagavata karma.
Panta vidvamsana shravana smarana guna vivarana charana.
Panta vidvamsana shravana smarana guna vivarana charana.
Charanaru vinda yugalam manasa vidadhan atmana pratighatam. Being always afraid that he would fall down again. Bhagavataha. Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Karma Bandha. The bondage of the reactions of fruitive activities. Vidvamsana. Which vanquishes. Shravana.
Hearing.
Smarana.
Remembering.
Gunavivarana.
Hearing descriptions of the qualities of the Lord.
Charanaravinda.
Lotus feet.
Yugalam.
The two.
Manasa.
With the mind.
Vidadha.
Always thinking of.
Atmanaha.
Of his soul.
Pratighatam.
Obstruction on the path of devotional service.
Ashankamanaha.
Always fearing.
Bhagavat anugrahena.
By the special mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Anusmrita.
Remember.
Svapurva.
His own previous.
Janma.
Janma
Avali.
String of words.
Atmana.
Himself.
Unmata.
Mad.
Jara.
Dove.
Andha.
Blind.
Badhira.
And deaf.
Swarupena.
With these features.
Darshayam Asa.
He exhibited.
Lokasya.
To people in general.
Translation and verbal by Swami Krishna Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Translation.
Due to his being especially gifted with the Lord's mercy, Bharat Maharaj should remember the incidents of his past life. Although he received the body of a Brahmana, he was still very much afraid of his relatives and friends who were not devotees. He was always very cautious of such association because he feared that he would again fall down. Consequently, he manifested himself before the public eye as a madman, i.e. dull, blind and deaf, so that others would not try to talk to him. In this way, he saved himself from bad association. But then he was always thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord and chanting the Lord's glories, which saved one from the bondage of full deception. In this way, he saved himself from the onslaught of non-devotee associates. Translation, please repeat after me. Here is being especially gifted with the Lord's mercy. Bharat Maharaj could remember the incidents of his past life. Although he received the body of a Brahmin, he was still very much afraid of his relatives and friends who were not devotees. He was always very cautious of such association because he feared that he would again fall down. Consequently, he manifested himself before the public eye as a madman, dull, blind, and deaf, so that others would not try to talk to him. In this way, he saved himself from bad association. Within, he was always thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord and chanting the Lord's glories, which save one from the bondage of fruitive action. In this way, he saved himself from the onslaught of non-devotee associates. Purport. Every living entity is bound by different activities due to association with the modes of nature. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Karanam Guna Sankhosya Sarvasar Yoni Janusu. This is due to his association with that material nature. Thus, he meets with good and evil among various species. Bhagavad Gita 13:22. We get different types of bodies among 8.4 million species according to our karma. Karmana Daiva Netrena. We work under the influence of material nature contaminated by the three modes, and thus we get a certain type of body according to superior order. This is called karma bandha. To get out of this karma bandha, one must engage himself in devotional service. Then one will not be affected by the modes of material nature. Mamchayo apyavicharena bhakti yogena sevate sahagunam samapityaitam brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahma. Bhagavad Gita 14:26. To remain immune from the material qualities, one must engage himself in devotional service, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. That is the perfection of life. When Maharaj Bharat took birth as a Brahmin, he was not very interested in the duties of a Brahmana, but within he remained a pure Vaishnava, always thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord. As advised in Bhagavad Gita, Manmanabhava Madbhakto Madhyajina Namasturu. This is the only process by which one can be saved from the danger of repeated birth and death. Om Gyanam Tirangasya Gyananjana Shlakaya Chakshurunditamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Pretty full on. So, Bharat Maharaj's renunciation can be seen as very extreme. He gave up his association of his friends and relatives, even his immediate family members. The point being that we need to be careful about the association we choose. So, if we look at the previous verse, the first and second verses of this chapter, Bharat Maharaj's association is described in these two verses. So Bharat Maharaj, he took birth in a very, he took birth in a very pure Brahmin family. So his association was not very gross or contaminated by today's standards. Like, he didn't take birth in a Yavana or, you know, Malaysia family. It was nothing like that. So he took birth in a pure Brahmin family. His father, he belonged to the dynasty of Angira. That was his gotra. And his father was very qualified, was very, very qualified as a Brahmana. He was a devotee. And he gave charity, he was doing all the duties of a Brahmana. And it is described that his father had, by his first wife, he had 9 equally qualified sons. And then from his second wife, it's not his second marriage, it's his second wife. So if you told today, second wife, they'll think it didn't work out with the first one. So they separated, and therefore second wife. But he had 2 wives, and by his second wives, he had begot 2 sons. So from his first wife, he had 9 equally qualified sons. In other words, they were Brahmanas too. So it wasn't like they were pure non-devotees. But still, Bharat Maharaj, he considered their association not to be very conducive. And that's why he wanted to save himself from that onslaught of non-devotee association. He considered it to be non-devotee association. So that's very interesting. So we have different types of association, right? There's even amongst devotees, there's various grades of devotees, and then even among non-devotees, there's those who are atheistic, right, and very envious, blasphemous of Krishna, and the devotees, and then there are those who are materialistic. So both of these types of association have to be avoided. So it's very important who we are associating with. So who we associate with, that forms our character. So if you want to know someone, just look at who they're associating with and the quality of the association. And as a result, that's what will come out of their mouth in due course of time, depending on who they're hanging out with. So that's why the association of devotees is very much stressed in the scriptures. And if you want to be successful in any endeavor, you have to associate with people in that type of endeavor. If you want to be a businessman, then you have to go to all the business conferences, gatherings, and the meetings, etc. And then you can try it, then maybe you can become a businessman. Of course, it needs to be a nature as well. You need to have that vaishya tendency. But if you want to be a drunkard, then hang out with the drunkards. And if you want to be a devotee, then we need to hang out with devotees. So then, does that mean we need to give up association with non-devotees? Like Bharat Maharaj, he gave up all association with non-devotees by acting very strange. That's what he did. So Bharat Maharaj, he acted like a madman. So does that mean we need to act like a madman and act like a deaf, dumb, and dull person? Hey, that's one way of doing it. That's a strategy to avoid association with non-devotees. You act in a repulsive way, so they don't want your association. So that way you can avoid the association by putting them off. That's one way of doing it. And in the Shastra, there are plenty of examples of devotees who have done that. But they cannot be imitated, because we don't have that adhikar. Prabhupada also, he he gave up the association of his wife. Prabhupada's wife was a devotee. But because she wasn't favorable to the propagation of devotional service and to his practice, so Prabhupada renounced him. You know that famous pastime where Prabhupada told his wife to choose between him or tea. But because she was so attached to tea and she sold his Bhagavatam set for tea biscuits, and that was it. So Prabhupada saw this as a sign from Krishna to renounce and to move on in his life. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he didn't accept a degree. So he went through university or college, whatever. But he didn't accept the degree because he knew that if he accepted the degree, he would be pressured to get married. So he didn't accept it. He didn't want that pressure from his relatives and family members. You see, even today in Indian society, if you are well educated, if you have been, if you have graduated from a good university or college, if you are from the Ivy League of India, from the top IIM, IITs, or any of the top ones, or even if any of the ordinary top ones, and then you have a good job, or you have come overseas, then suddenly family members put a lot of pressure. When are you going to get married? Right? They put a lot of pressure on you. So, because you have those material qualifications, and so everyone wants you to take the next step. When are you going to get married? And when you get married, when are you going to have kids? So people put pressure like that. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he didn't want any of that. So he didn't accept his degree. It's a big thing. You know, you go through, generally people go through college and they have a big graduation ceremony. Right? They invite everyone. Invite all their friends. What's that ceremony called?
Convocation.
Huh?
Convocation.
Convocation? Okay, yeah. In which they infer upon you the degree. And you wear the gown and the whole ceremony happens. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he just renounced it. And there's also the example of Raghunath Das Goswami. So Raghunath Das Goswami, he was born in a very wealthy family, but Jumitra was in India. And so they were devotees. It's not that they were not devotees. And they rendered service to a lot of devotees as well. They supported the Vaishnavas. But they were not devotees. You could say they were not maybe very serious devotees. Maybe they had some materialistic tendencies. So Raghunath Das Goswami, he rejected their association and went to Vrindavan. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he compared them to be like worms in stew, because a worm cannot live without stew. So if you take a worm out of stew, it will go back into it. So similarly, they could not give up their materialistic tendencies despite being devotees. So that's how Mahaprabhu compared him. So Raghunath Das Goswami, he renounced him. So there's plenty of examples where in the Shastra where devotees have renounced their family and friends and society in general, and they've taken these extreme renunciation. So should we do that? Maybe you can do that, but it's not recommended. Number one, because then we can't function in society. These days, everyone is we're living in a non-devotee society, right? We're living in a materialistic society, and where devotees are the minority. So, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, among thousands among men, one, what's that verse? Seventh chapter. Among thousands, among men, what's the translation? One endeavors for perfection, and among those, hardly one knows me in truth. So devotees are very rare, and especially today. So this is not practical, where we can give up the association of family and friends, because we have to function in the society. I guess I'm assuming the most of you here are doing a job, right? So even to earn your livelihood, you have to associate with non-devotees. So then how to associate in such a way that we are not contaminated? Because that association is there, and we are surrounded by that association. So the principle here, the point being made, the principle is to avoid non-devotee association. And that has been stressed various places in the Shastra as well, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Madhya Lila, 22nd chapter, text number 87. There's that famous verse, Asat Sankhya E Vaishnavacha, Sri Sankhi Eka Sadhu Krishna Mantra. So, a Vaishnava should always avoid the association of ordinary people. So, common people are very much materially attached, especially to women. So, Vaishnavas should also avoid the company of those who are not devotees of Lord Krishna. So, in other words, as a devotee, we have to use some discrimination to avoid. Number one, first we have to avoid non-devotees. And that's very important. The principle of avoiding that intimate association with non-devotees is important, because when we hang out with them, their influence rubs off with us. So if we intimately associate with them, by intimately meaning we reveal our mind and we hear their mind, we let them reveal their mind to us. So by that association, very subtly and slowly, their mindset is imposed upon us. We imbibe their mindset. And what's their mindset? Is basically sense gratification. That's their mindset. So if you hang out with non-devotees, and if you go to any gatherings, generally what are they talking about? They're just talking about material prosperity and enjoyment. So if you ask them, okay, how are you, how's your family? You know, they might say, especially in Indian non-devotees, they're always concerned about material prosperity and how their family is doing and comparing with others. So if you ask, how are you doing? Yeah, I'm good. How's your family? Yeah, they're good. My daughter is working in such and such place. And just to, you know, show, okay, they're very progressive. And son is in such and such corporation and in such and such position. So, how are you doing? How are your kids doing? And so if you say, I'm just doing, you know, this ordinary job, this cleaning, okay, yeah, it's nice. But so if we associate with non-devotees, then that fever of material prosperity and sense gratification comes. That mindset it comes upon us in a very subtle way. And they're all about, basically they're just talking about sense gratification. Different degrees and different types of sense gratification, depending on who you hang out with. So, and that's why non-devotee association, in principle, should be avoided. And in the Western world, their sense gratification is strongly centered around meat eating, illicit sex, intoxication, and gambling. So, and that's where, and in such places they are hanging out. And such places are places for crows. In the Bhagavatam, there's that in the first canto, fifth chapter, 10th verse, Nayar Vachar Sitra Padam Hare Yesho, Jagat Pavitram Pragnita Karhichit, Tad Vayasam Tetham Ushanti Mansa, Nayatra Hamsa Niramanti Ushikshaya. So, where Narad Muni tells Vyasadeva that to address Vyasadeva's dissatisfaction, he tells him that those words that do not describe the glories of the Lord, which alone can sanctify the whole atmosphere of the universe. So by saintly person, such words are considered to be like a place of pilgrimage for crows. So we see there is even amongst birds, there's different types of birds. You have crows, and crows are generally interested in rubbish. So in India you see that a lot of crows are hanging around garbage, right, because garbage is left open. So the birds can access it. Even here you see sometimes the bin is left open, crows come there. But you don't see any swans hanging out there. So swans coming out, picking, you know, refuse from the garbage. Swans are hanging out by the lake. If you go to Alder Park Lake, you can see swans there. Mostly black swans, but sometimes you see white swans as well. So the swans, they hang out in such tranquil places, amongst nice flowers, beautiful water, a nice serene place. So the association of non-devotees is like is hanging out with crows. And crow is this calm, calm. That's all there. You know, this sound is like that. So, with hanging out with non-devotees is hearing all sorts of mundane topics. And then they're reading all sorts of mundane literature. Most people don't read. And if they do read, they're just reading about mundane literature. These days people don't read. Everyone just watches the video. People have given up, they're just watching TV, right? On their iPad or TV or their phone or Facebook. So if the very few who read, they read mundane garbage literature. So that literature is for crows. No matter how sophisticated it might be from a mundane perspective, but it is from a transcendental perspective, that is garbage and should be avoided. Very heavy. So the devotees are like swan-like people, like all of these transcendentalists are devotees, are swan-like people, and such association is highly desirable. Because in such association, that raises our consciousness and makes us serious in Krishna consciousness. So by hanging out with devotees sufficiently, then we get serious in Krishna consciousness. So by hanging out with, that's why a devotee uses discrimination even amongst devotees. There's three types of devotees, right? There is the Prakrita Bhakta, or the materialistic Bhakta. There is the Madhyam Bhakta, and then there is the Uttam Bhakta. So there's three types of devotees, and Rupa Goswami in the Upadeshamrita, he talks about these three levels of devotees. Says Krishneti yasya giritam manasa driyeta dikshasti chet pranati bhischa bhajantam isham. So the devotee who chants the holy name of the Lord, one should mainly honor them. And the one who has taken diksha, one should offer one's obeisances. And then the devotee who has given up the propensity to criticize and who is engaged in undivided devotional service, one should, it says that one should associate and serve them. So there's, you know, there's different types of devotees, and even amongst devotees, we have to use discrimination, and there's nothing wrong to try to associate, to try to get the association of those who are equally or more advanced than oneself. And that is very natural. So even in the material field, if you want to advance in any endeavor, you have to seek the association of those who are more advanced than you. even in the material field. If you want to be good at anything, you have to associate with others who are better than you and get them to impart their knowledge into you. So that same principle is even applied in Krishna consciousness, where we try to seek the association of those who are more advanced than us by serving them. So by serving those who are more advanced than us and by listening to them, we can also advance. So we can associate with the Mahabharata by reading the literature of the Mahabharata. So we get Prabhupada's association every day. We can get Prabhupada's association every day by reading his books and his lectures. And the association of so many other devotees, your spiritual master. But that doesn't mean you disrespect the other devotees. And it's not that we should start labeling devotees according to their level of advancement. You know, they put a badge. This is Kanishka, Madhyam, and Uttamadhikari. It's not like that. Everyone has to be made comfortable, respected, and everyone has to be equally honored, irrespective of their levels of advancement. Because to someone, to another devotee, we might be you know, less advanced. So there's always someone who's more advanced than you. So everyone has to be treated with respect, otherwise that leads to a lot of problems in society. If we start seeing you know, ourselves as very advanced and start to see others inferior to us. Everybody is equal in the sense that everyone's a devotee of Krishna and they have to be treated with respect. But at the same time, one should try to get the association of those who are more advanced than one and try to serve those who are less advanced. And that naturally occurs. You don't need to label anyone, it naturally occurs. So if one is serious, one will naturally seek out that association to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, again it is then further described that why we should avoid the association of ordinary people. So asat sankhya e vaishnava cha and where it's basically they're quoting from Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Kapila's teachings. So by associating with ordinary people, worldly people, one becomes devoid of truthfulness. You know, one loses all these good qualities. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about various items of knowledge, various good qualities. So by associating with non-devotees, we lose these good qualities. Right? So one becomes devoid of truthfulness, cleanliness, mercy, gravity, spiritual intelligence, shyness, austerity, fame, forgiveness, control of the mind, of the senses, fortune and all opportunities. So that's the result of associating with non-devotees. One loses all these good qualities which we are trying to acquire. So because these good qualities are favorable to devotional service. So simply by engaging in devotional service, we can acquire these good qualities. So the point being made here is avoid the association of non-devotees, but simultaneously cultivate Krishna consciousness, and that's the most important thing, to engage in Krishna consciousness. So by doing that, one can automatically give up these things. So in the third chapter, you know, Krishna says that do not be a pretender. So one can give up sense gratification, but I was trying to think of the Sanskrit of that verse.
Mithya.
Okay, can you say the verse? Not coming? Yeah, Nityakshara, right? So, one might, the essence of that is basically, we can give up sense gratification, but if we don't have a higher taste, we will, in due course of time, engage in those activities. And that's the essence of that verse. So, yes, we can try to give up the association of non-devotees, but the main thing is, the positive is, we have to engage in Krishna devotion service. So, that's why it's mentioned in the purport. And Prabhupada really stresses on this point, that to engage in devotional service, as inculcated by Prahlad Maharaj, Sharanam Ketanam Vishnu Smaranam. So by hearing and chanting, by engaging in the process of hearing and chanting and remembering, one will be immune from such association. So one can be in such association, but still be immune from it. It's like being a lotus flower. A lotus flower can grow even in a contaminated environment, in dirty water, but it is not affected by it. So by engaging in Krishna consciousness, in the process of devotional service, and every day we have the opportunity to associate with the Lord by chanting the holy names. All of us have the opportunity every day when we are chanting our 16 rounds. It just depends on us how seriously we take it. I'm speaking for myself also. So if we try to be attentive in the chanting of the holy names, then that is very, very powerful. By trying to attentively chant and also associate with the holy name and the scriptures, then that gives us the strength to not be affected by the association of non-devotees when we come in touch with them. So when we go to work, or when we go to any gatherings, where social gatherings we have to go to, then we cannot be affected by that association. In fact, you can then go there and observe, and whatever you read comes to you. It's like Srimad Bhagavatam playing. Whatever it says, it comes, you know, you get those realizations. So the point is, we can go to these, we can associate with non-devotees, but we should not try to enjoy the association. So if we try to enjoy the association, then we will be affected by that. So how not to be affected by the association, by not trying to enjoy the association. So if we seek out the association of non-devotees to enjoy, then we will be impacted by their association. And I mean, that even goes for devotee association. We can try to even enjoy devotee association, but devotee association is meant for serving the devotees and to hear from them. And in that way we cannot be affected by that association. So any questions or comments on what we've discussed? Yes? Yeah. Sorry, when we associate with non-devotees for preaching, then?
Yeah, so then how do we keep away from bad association?
Okay, so your question is, when we are with non-devotees, how do we stay away from them?
Yeah.
So yeah, preaching means, to preach means you have to come in touch with them. Mm-hmm. So, it's very difficult to preach without coming in touch with them. So there will be that association, but we need to become strong in Krishna consciousness. So if we are strong, then we won't be affected. Then they will be affected by you. That's how we do it.
Thank you. That's a very nice class.
Thank you. Yes.
We have to be with like one devotee. So how
Sorry, I didn't quite hear. What did she say?
So in school we have in the school we have to talk with other kids who are non-devotees.
Yeah.
So how we make sure that we are not deviating from our path?
Okay. So yeah, when you go to school, right? In school you're hanging out with a lot of your classmates might not be devotees. So how not to be affected by them?
How to not be affected by them?
How not to be affected by them? Yeah, it's challenging. It's because there's so many of them, and they all are doing something different, and you're a minority, so it can be very challenging. So yeah, make a lot of friends with devotee kids. Have a lot of friends, and with friendship with devotee children, when you hang out with, when you go to school, then hopefully that won't affect you. So have lots of friends to play with. Devotee friends. Do your classmates inquire about your lifestyle? No? They're not interested?
Well, sometimes you ask them for the lifestyle, I know what to wear, we also want to wear.
Yeah, yeah.
They are curious about the dresses.
Yeah, so see, they're having a positive influence. Your being there is a positive influence. So you're changing them slowly. So just be a nice devotee and then leave it up to Krishna. And don't be discouraged. Yes, sir.
Thank you very much for a nice talk, Nandamani. Why so much importance given to the lotus feet of Krishna? Like Nidayapa, Kamal. Why so importance always is given everywhere, Prabhupada is giving? It attached to the lotus feet, attached to the lotus feet. What is there?
I don't think you will ask that.
You have to get the addition. You are doing the class. You are very just asking. So you must have to get the addition.
Well, because we approach any respectable person from the feet. That's why there is so much emphasis on the lotus feet. And lotus because Krishna is compared to a lotus, because a lotus is the most beautiful flower. Of course, Krishna's beauty is unparalleled. But just for the sake of, you know, to give some perspective to Krishna's beauty, it is compared with a lotus flower. And Krishna's beauty is far beyond that. So Krishna's feet are compared to a lotus flower. That's beautiful, and we approach any respectable person with their feet. That's why there's a lot of emphasis on the feet. And even in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is mentioned that one should approach the Lord starting from the feet and then glancing upwards. So that's why there's a lot of importance given on the Lord's feet. Even when we even when any respectable person comes, right, so their feet are washed, and you look at your feet, like a guru, and great personality, and then you look up. That is proper etiquette and the way to approach. And Krishna's lotus feet are very merciful, that's another point. So one tries to take the dust from the feet of the Lord. Generally, the dust from anyone's feet is contaminated, but because Krishna's body is all transcendental, the dust from Krishna's feet is transcendental, and that is taken on one's head. And also, as a sign of humility, one approaches the feet of the Lord. That's my revelation.
That's right. But what particular detainment?
Sorry?
Why particularly the temple?
Why?
They are saying that even greater than Krishna lotus feet are Nityananda feet. How come he becomes greater than Krishna? Because Krishna is Supreme Personality. How come he becomes greater than Krishna?
Because he is very magnanimous.
Avadhut.
Avadhut Chandra is very magnanimous. And he's distributing the mercy of the Lord. That's why.
And because he is serving Krishna so nicely, the top is rather under the
face. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for the answer. So when you are explaining that we should keep ourselves as devotees, sometimes we keep away from bad association. In the way that you say of the Sadhana, from my subjective learning, we tend to get into this discriminative mode where we see that someone is different from me, and sometimes we tend to fall in a trap that we look down upon them. Which may not be good as Sadhana. So can you please comment on the discriminatory aspects and how do we keep away from blaspheming others?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so discrimination is very important. One should discriminate. If you don't discriminate, then then good luck. Mm-hmm. So yes, we need to understand who's a devotee, who's not a devotee, and then in principle try to avoid their association, but still be respectful to them and have a respectful attitude towards them. One should not think that just because they're not devotees, then you know, yes, they're demons, whatever, but they're still Krishna's part and parcel, like us. And at this point, they've forgotten about the Lord. And so we had also forgotten not long ago. It's just recently, because of mercy of devotees, we are here. So we're not that great, right? So we have to be respectful to them and show them mercy. And they can detect it if you're not respectful to them. They can pick up on that vibe. So, and that's not good for us. And they will become critical. So we want to help them not to become critical. And you want them to be also respectful towards the devotees. So, if you're disrespectful, and they pick up on that vibe, and then it will make it harder for them to come to Krishna. Because they think devotees are very callous, and the devotees are full of themselves. Right? So, you know, basically we need to be humble and try to be their servant. By trying to help them, maybe even indirectly. So sometimes you just don't have to speak. Just set an example, and then one day they might inquire, or even if they don't inquire, then that's okay. But they will appreciate you for what you stand for. So yeah, just in summary. Be strong, discern, discriminate, but be respectful. And remember that we also just came not long ago, we were in their position. And how would you feel if someone treated you like that? If a devotee tell you to be like that? You know, it would probably make it hard for you to come to Krishna.
On the same
point? Yeah.
What if they ridicule you, throw his clothes on you? They say that you are looking the other day from India, you are driving Mercedes. What is this?
Sorry?
You came the other day only from India and now you are driving Mercedes. What are you doing? Why you are so nonsensical? You don't take part in our activity. You don't drink. You don't sleep with us. You are not going to eat with me. So what sort of person you are?
Krishna will give intelligence. Hmm? Krishna gives intelligence, how we respond.
But how we do it?
The Lord will give intelligence.
Krishna is doing everything, of course. But how do we?
Yeah, so based on whatever I just spoke in the class, we just have to take those principles and the Lord will give intelligence.
Tolerate. Titikshva. Even if they hit you stone, if they hit you on the cheek, will you hit you?
Maybe. Krishna will give all intelligence. So we just need to apply these principles. And the Lord will give intelligence how to apply them. That's a specific situation, and so every situation is different.
You can't retaliate, you can't defend yourself. No retaliation.
Hare Krishna.
Just serve it to them.
Krishna will give all intelligence. That's a specific. Any other points? Question? No? Okay, thank you very much. Tantra Shrimad Bhagavatam.
Yeah.